Blog Talk Radio.
Wrestling Smash Radio.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
Greg DeMarco Show. The best wrestling program on the planet. On the planet.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Oh, sneaky. You gotta go to bed. Huh?
This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to The Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show, on the web.
Your hosts, Patrick O'Dowd and Greg DeMarco.
Wow, it seems like we're live. It's just, Is it Tuesday?
It may be Tuesday.
It must be a Tuesday because I hear you like plugging in your headphone, your headset.
I'm not plugging anything.
Unmuting it or slamming glasses up against the thing. I hear like
no, I heard two beeps. That's it. Like I didn't like if you want me to here. This is me touching my shit. There you go. Now you've got your little satisfying noise. Didn't touch anything before that.
Dirty bastard. I'd say it's satisfying.
Vaginas are awesome.
It took a grand total of like a minute to derail and go in that direction. A minute.
Well, dude, here's the thing.
You're welcome.
I was looking at the rundown. We don't have a guest. It's kind of our world.
Well, when you don't plan a show, before a show, you can't really have a guest. I mean, maybe a guest comes through. You never know.
Yeah.
But you know, as of right now. And look, we have other songs in the queue now because other people are hosting shows. I don't even know what this one is. What is this? I don't even know. What is this crap? That's actually Heather Lynn's theme song that someone else is using for their show for some reason.
That's Heather Lynn's theme song?
Yeah. This is just later in the song.
#32Fantastic, Heather Lynn.
Yeah, fair enough. I got to say, though, man, we gotta rebuild the audience. Granted, we have to have a show in consecutive weeks, but at some point...
That's a big step.
Well, you know, hashtag Greg's fault.
It is. I'm guilty as charged. 100%.
I will take responsibility for the first gap in weeks. I was sick.
That was like a month ago, though.
I own one. But that was before the hashtag Greg's fault thing started. It's going to be huge. It's going to be as big as Axelmania.
I know. Nothing can be as big as Axelmania.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Axelmania is phenomenal.
I've got a Twitter army of two, and they will hashtag Greg's fault to no end should we ask
That's
them
right.
to.
And I'm it'll just trend. Saying. It'll trend on their timeline. It'll be great.
Trending, you know, a block wide.
Yeah.
Trending down the street.
If you map out where the four of us are, that's like almost the whole country except for the Pacific Northwest.
That is one hell of a... That's some scope.
See?
Greg DeMarco,
I love you.
We do know some Floridians too. I'm sure we could get one of
them
on board.
We know plenty of Floridians.
I was just saying, like, we know a couple.
Juan is a Floridian. That's where that was coming from.
And we could probably find somebody in the Oregon, Washington area. I'm sure that's not too big of a stretch.
True. So we have friends up in the Great North with Darren.
There you go. And then we crisscross at the Jimmy D.
Well, of course. I mean, the Jimmy D's house is
because you and I are the other corners.
Exactly. And then, I mean, it all makes perfect sense. Like, we got this. In fact, Patrick, there's only one thing missing from the equation.
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to The Greg DeMarco Show.
Our biggest fan.
Wasn't that missing with the intent of never being found?
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
So
run and hide, is that what you're saying?
I guess so, Greg.
Don't do it like that, baby.
What I really love is that people will send me messages during the show on the Facebook.
Put me on the show. Keep me on the show, man.
Stop. I'm on the air now. There we go. That should stop. Then they'll reply, oh, sorry. Oh, I didn't mean it. Oh, my bad. Still on the air. Still not trying to do this.
Yeah. So, not talking to you.
We do. You know, the fact that we just kind of threw this thing together, there's plenty to talk about today, Patrick O'Day.
It's a busy time of year.
We had the WrestleMania card so far. We've got that stupid spot, which I won't say anything more about. We all know what that stupid, idiotic piece of shit spot is. And then we, of course, have your bullshit internet report of the week. We have a little non, you know, we're going to go not off the grid a little bit because it's still wrestling, but we're going to talk a little bit of TNA and Ring of Honor. Maybe
no,
you just never
grid.
Know how.
It's
how,
still wrestling.
I said it's still wrestling. It's just not what we normally talk about. Talking about the stupid spot and Beyond Wrestling, not off the grid, but talking about Ring of Honor and TNA apparently is off the grid. And just who knows? You know, it's fluid. It's things can change at a moment's notice, less than a moment even. You just never, ever know.
No, so. That's the nature of wrestling at this point. Anything can happen. We're on the road to WrestleMania. So, you know.
We are. We're on that road.
Actually, I take that back. There's actually not a lot that really surprises you on the road to WrestleMania. We are. Yeah, we pretty much called it.
I mean, okay, I didn't know, I did not know that the Bella Twins were going to face AJ Lee and Paige. I did not know that match was going to happen.
True. Valid. The ladder match.
The ladder match, yeah. I still held out hope because you kind of figured that they would do qualifying matches for the ladder match. Instead, they're just randomly announcing the names of the people that we already know are going to be in the ladder.
Whoa, Greg, don't you know that you can't just announce that you're going to be in a WrestleMania match?
Well, you can if your name is R-Truth or Dolph Ziggler, but you can't if your name is John Cena.
No, you can't just do it. Oh, sorry. Except for when you can.
Right.
That's what I do!
Yeah,
continuity, Stephanie. Thanks for nothing.
Who needs continuity? I mean, really. It's just
fans
silly.
Need continuity. We need somebody to hold our hand and tell us how to think.
Yeah, who needs continuity? It's silly to even bring that up at this point in time. Continuity is so overrated. I mean, really, it's just silly.
Nice try.
It's just silly. So let's talk. Let's talk some WrestleMania.
Let's do it.
WrestleMania is as a good friend Chad Perry put it on the Facebook, three Raws away from WrestleMania is what we are right now, because that's really all that matters in the grand scope of things is how many episodes of Raw. I'm gonna start doing that. Hey son, it's 30 Raws till Christmas. You know that?
Oh jeez, yeah,
well,
you know.
Christmas,
well,
you're
a little hard on Chad there. I mean. is it because he didn't show up to Slammiversary?
Still an empty seat. Hey, I didn't buy the ticket. You did. Still an empty seat at Slammiversary.
I just love that the commitment became a non-commitment somewhere along the way. I got witnesses,
yeah.
Perry.
Yeah, as soon as he decided he wasn't going to go.
Exactly. Oh, I never said I was actually going.
I never said I was going to go, except for the time
I
said I was going to go.
After I said I bought the tickets, it's all right. Whatever.
Patrick O'Dowd's like, so I got the tickets, Chad Perry. Whoa, wait a minute now.
Back up here,
Mitch. I didn't say I was going. I mean, I know I said I was going and all, but I didn't actually say. Patrick O'Dowd, you spent your hard-earned money on those tickets?
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
So the only time there was one, I was actually very jealous of him when Abyss walked out. I was really jealous of Chad Perry at that point. But besides that, I wasn't. I even took a picture, but I couldn't get good service in the arena to tweet the picture of the empty chair.
Of the empty chair where Chad Perry was supposed to be.
To CP Goat. But, yeah. So, hey, back to WrestleMania.
Anyway, okay. Indeed.
Back to the granddaddy of them all. Let's start big. Let's start at the top. Roman Reigns versus the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. The one in 21 and one. The beast incarnate, Brock Lesnar. Patrick O'Dowd, I don't even know what we're going to talk about with these matches. The build, just whatever.
Yeah,
that's the topic. Go.
Well, okay, so I guess I'll throw it this way. Because I've from the beginning never hated the idea of this match. And I guess Roman Reigns. Like, I've never had the problem with Roman Reigns that apparently the interwebs does. And so when you look at the build, the only thing that I don't like right now is that we've not seen a lot of, you know, Mr. Lesnar himself, because we're fighting over money or something.
If we weren't, he only would have been on last week, and then we still wouldn't see him again.
Well, the thing is, Paul Heyman is doing what Paul Heyman does, which if you like Paul Heyman, you're probably okay with. For those of you who don't know me very well, I'm not a Paul Heyman guy. Never really have been. Don't find him all that special, but okay. Love, you know, what Brock Lesnar brings to the table when he's there.
Aw, Puddin.
What? It's true. You know this. I'm not some super Roman Reigns guy. I actually think that what I've seen has been a fairly decent recovery of making Roman Reigns a little bit better. You're never going to get him all the way back because of the way that you had him say stupid stuff like suffer and succotash and make him a character that he never was. But I think that he's in a better place and is in a better position now. And as much as people want to make fun of it, you had to have Daniel Bryan be like, Roman Reigns is like such a terrific guy. And you needed to have Paul Heyman be like,
here's my thing,
Roman Reigns,
about,
but, yep.
About the Daniel Bryan. I know a lot of people are like, oh, they need Daniel Bryan to put Roman Reigns over. That's completely within character for Daniel Bryan to do.
Mm-hmm.
That for
I'm
him to come out there and admit that he was the better man. But no one will acknowledge that. All they'll say
is
Roman Reigns is so bad that Daniel Bryan, yada, 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 yada. No, you know what? If it were anyone else, if it were Dolph Ziggler and him feuding over the title shot, and he won, and Daniel Bryan shook his feet, like, that's great booking. But because it's Roman Reigns, people are like, that's terrible. And that's terrible.
Which is unfortunate. And I absolutely agree with, you know, it's not like it's out of character for Daniel Bryan. But yeah, it is. It's kind of a sad state of where that particular character is. He's, in my opinion, Roman Reigns is viewed the same way Randy Orton was viewed very early in his career, when everybody just hated Randy Orton to hate him. And
he's
turned
out to be a total bust.
Yeah, he's the worst wrestler in the history of ever. Like, nobody ever improves.
He's not doing well.
Nobody ever gets better.
I think last I heard, he was working at the local Big Y. And I don't think he's doing too well at all. That's a grocery store for those of you who don't live in New England.
He and Shane Douglas are hanging out at Target together. That's what I caught. That was low.
They're working the overnights in the back room at Target. I don't think Shane Douglas is doing that anymore. But
Far be it from us to
allow facts get in the way of a good discussion.
Exactly. We're Meltzer fans.
Hashtag #5-star match.
Hashtag Greg's fault.
Oh. Hashtag Greg. By the way, at GregDemarco411 on the Twitter, only because somebody in Arabic took Greg DeMarco show and I didn't have it. And then hashtag Wrestling Realist without the first eye, but with the second eye for Patrick O'Dowd. Both on the Twitter machine, of course. Or as Bully Ray would call it, the Twitter.
The Twitter.
The Twitter.
So yeah, I don't know, like that feud is just sort of there without Brock really being more a piece of it. I'm bringing it back.
Here's the thing about it. Like I don't blame the feud on Brock Lesnar not being there.
No.
I think it's stupid for them to do this, to put the title on Brock Lesnar when he wasn't going to be there. They've completely devalued the championship. They've completely devalued all the championships to the point where they could actually put on shows without them and it not matter to me. That's what they've done to those championships. And I'm excited to have the championship back on somebody full time. You can make that belt so important simply by having Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins cash in, then it's about the title. And it hasn't been about the title for that long. Even Roman Reigns, like, he doesn't have time to let it be about the title because he's going back and forth with Seth Rollins or going back and forth with somebody else because the guy he's wrestling isn't there. And by the way, people love to slam on Roman Reigns and his promo ability. Ever since the Roman Reigns and the Beanstalk promo, or the Big Show and the Beanstalk promo, he's been fine.
Yeah,
and yet, you know, he screwed up the phrase triple threat on Raw. People have screwed up far worse, and no one has said anything.
Yeah, Seth Rollins has been as clunky as anybody. Daniel Bryan, you're golden boy.
Oh, jeez.
He's not that strong on the mic.
No,
like,
he's not.
People think he's, like, he's not bad. We take a lot of rose-colored glasses to people, too. Like, one of the all-time greatest, like, technical wrestlers in history was one of its worst talkers. Go back into the WWE Network, friends, and go listen to Ricky Steamboat talk. Go listen to Bret Hart talk. They're okay. They're not awful. Bret's kind of bad, but they're not they don't blow you away. They're stilted. They're uncomfortable. They have short to the point promos, but you would never be like, oh my god, that guy's magic on the mic. And deserve so much. No, you wouldn't at all. And
Very few people are.
Yeah, it's a gift. It's a real gift.
You can't teach that. Hashtag, and you can't teach that. Another soundbite that I need. But you really, that's why someone like John Cena, someone like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, these guys come out there and they
Michaels.
Cut these promos. Shawn Michaels, who really, he had to develop into it. He was not a good talker at first. Let's be completely
Savage.
Honest. Like, he was, Savage, always been great. You know, but I mean,
but he's also weird. Like, he was just weird. Like, that's the other thing.
The best promo of Curtis Axel's career took place on Monday Night Raw. So,
exactly.
I'll be right now, Roman Reigns has never been Genesis of McGillicuddy bad. So, and if anyone disagrees with me, we'll just stop arguing. And that's my new thing now. I just stop arguing because there's no point to it because people are so stupid. They will never see anything.
Nobody ever changes their view on it. Like, that's what I think is funny is people talk about how great they have, like, awesome debates and discourse about wrestling. They really don't, because if they did, then when somebody presented, like, anything, one side would cave. No side ever caves. Like, we never cave. Because we're right, but we never
I caved once. Remember the whole Bobby Heenan, Paul Heyman, greatest manager? I did that.
That's
the very
true.
Next week, I wrote to the fans, changed my mind. I got zero credit for that.
Just
saying. So, at the end of the day, the only thing bad about this is the fact that the champion's not around. It has nothing to do with Roman Reigns. In fact, Roman Reigns looked like a freaking monster during the opening promo on Raw, which was a great opening promo, and didn't involve the Authority, didn't involve anybody annoying. And when I say the Authority, I mean Triple H and Stephanie. Of course it involved Rollins. Of course it involved J&J Security, who people love, by the way. And Seth Rollins, he's the best heel since Edge, in my opinion. Like, he is really coming into his own as a heel, and it's great to see.
It wasn't an accident, and that's the funny thing is it's not an accident. Torch passed, straight up said it. Like, they believe in this guy, and he is going to be a problem for faces for years to come.
As he should.
Of these, sort of new and up-and-coming guys, Rollins is youngish, you know, in the sense that he's, you know, he's not, yeah, he's not Daniel Bryan's age.
No.
I don't know how old Roman Reigns is. Reigns isn't, you know, particularly, he's not old, but he's not like terribly young either.
All the guys in the Shield, I want to say they're all like 29. Yep,
yeah.
Reigns 29. I think Ambrose might be like a year younger, but
yep.
Yeah. Rollins 28. I'm pretty sure Ambrose
he's 28. I thought he was younger. Oh, wow. My bad. But anyway, yeah.
Yep.
Ambrose,
by the way, also 29. So
there you go.
All the same age.
Yeah, nobody really debuts at 19 too often.
No, there's not a whole lot of Cody Rhodes running around.
Nope. So.
Actually, Cody Rhodes himself isn't running around. Stardust is. Cody Rhodes also 29.
Cody Rhodes is dead.
Yeah. Stardust, by the way, might actually find his way into the ladder match. Just saying.
Yeah, you know, that ladder match, I feel like we can go ahead and skip down a point. We'll just hit that one.
Sure.
That ladder match, like, I'm not sure where I stand on it yet. You know, you talked about how titles have been devalued, and you know how I feel about the Intercontinental
mm-hmm.
title. It's very near and dear to my heart. I agreed with Tony Nocera when he wrote his write-up. He wrote a comment in regards to the match that happened between Barrett and I'm going to lose it, Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
And how he was like, I'm just not sure how I felt about like a hotshot title change. You know, that's not the part that bugs me. It's that a repeat, like if we end up with ourselves looking at like a hardcore title situation, then we got a real problem. Like, it's not like we're dropping titles like a hot potato every week on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand how having a large group of, you know, hungry people competing for the Intercontinental title and making it seem like they all want it as a big deal is necessarily a bad thing.
No.
At all. And I think that, you know, you look at it's going to be your Money in the Bank steal the show match.
Right.
Yeah, clearly they were like, we need a ladder match at WrestleMania because that's what we do. Thank you, Mark Henry. How are we going to do it without a briefcase? And if this is what this year's is, if this becomes a standing tradition, I won't like it. But I'm okay with how it's gone this year. I do think it's weird. Some of the people that are just getting sort of shoehorned and thrown. I thought we were getting Cody and you know, our Stardust and Goldust.
No, and I told everyone that's not happening.
But I'm okay with it not happening. I'm fine with it. I don't believe, like, I saw a lot of outrage over what this has done to a title, which, frankly, I'm sorry, hasn't really been that important for about a decade now.
Yeah.
Plus.
It's not like anything has just changed in the importance of the Intercontinental Championship. In fact, this is a good thing. I mean, I know Cody wrestled Ray for it at WrestleMania. At least I believe the title was on the line in that match. But, you know, and
yeah.
I guess it hashtag SmackDown spoilers, but the show literally ends with Stardust standing on top of a ladder posing with the Intercontinental Championship. Like it's this has become the show where the Intercontinental title is more important. And I'm not at all upset about that. R-Truth had the best line of the week last week on SmackDown, where he stole the title
mm-hmm.
and then backstage gives it back to Dean Ambrose. And when Ambrose takes it from him, R-Truth looks at him and goes, two title changes on one show. SmackDown is on fire.
That's funny stuff.
So, I mean, R-Truth is you know, in
he's
the right
an underrated. Position. He's an underrated,
he
undervalued
is.
Talent. Like,
he really is.
You know, I mean, I wonder where his career would have gone had he not been saddled with K-Quick.
hey, you know, for a while there, he wanted us to get rowdy. That didn't work out, so we just went back
it
to
did.
What's Up.
What's
up?
It's okay.
Maybe that's why he's in the match. Maybe they're going to open with the R-Truth entrance again, just like they did at WrestleMania 26.
I really do think that it's probably a strong case for your opener outside of maybe the U.S. title match, which I think...
I still say John Cena curtain jerker is the way to go. I just, you know...
I think that would absolutely... It would excite both fan bases for very different reasons.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you'd have the kids be like, woo, John Cena first! and then you'd have the internet fanboys, woo, John Cena first! and it did exactly the same way. And, you know, one would be in a basement and the other would be in their parents' living room. But it would absolutely, like, I could read the thread that I'll be following now. This is just a brilliant decision by the WWE. Blah, 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 blah. This is great, you know, like you were saying, great booking.
Right.
This is so smart. Get it, you know, get it done, get him motivated early. Like, it'll be get
right.
John Cena out of the way, but, you know, from the youngster standpoint, it'll be like, we got to see John Cena right away, and now we can go to bed on time.
See, there's no bad to it whatsoever.
There's no, there it
no,
is a
no
win-win.
Bad John Cena opening the show. So the Intercontinental title ladder match, I do, you know, I had this hope that they were going to utilize qualifying matches, and I kind of had this fantasy scenario in my head where Ziggler versus Bryan is a qualifying match, and they just keep going
so
to draws and double countouts and whatever, so neither man qualifies, leading to them getting a WrestleMania match against each other. Obviously not going to happen now that A, Ziggler is in the match, and B, Ziggler himself is calling for Daniel Bryan to be in the match. And since people are just getting randomly placed in this match, and since Curtis Axel's already busy in the Battle Royal, I just see no reason why you can't put Daniel Bryan in the ladder match. That's obviously what they're going to do. But now when Stardust showed up, that puts us at 7.
Yep.
Like now
you
we're
only,
at a weird
you,
number
you got,
of people.
You've got room for one more.
Maybe there have been the Money in the Bank ladder matches have had 7 guys in them before, mm-hmm. more than once actually. Once
I like the nice even 10 though, or nice even 8 though.
Ooh,
just
say
feels
10
good.
Is too many. Ours had
yeah.
10. It was like when I say ours, I mean WrestleMania 26. For those who don't understand,
that wasn't really the problem with that match. I mean,
no,
Jack Swagger couldn't pull the briefcase off of the hook, man.
And they're just at that point, the match had run its course, and it needed a break.
Yeah.
And look, it got a 5-year break, and now it's back in the form of the Intercontinental Championship ladder match at WrestleMania. And like you said, I do hope it's not a yearly tradition, because we've already got the yearly Battle Royal. Then we get the yearly IC title ladder match. We already have the yearly Undertaker match. Like, it's just too many yearly things. Like we're getting to the yearly John Cena mid-card match, and it's just
nope.
too much. You know, you got the yearly Triple H match. I mean, it really, it WrestleMania is paint by numbers at this point, and that's
really
not necessarily
well,
a good thing.
The WWE pay-per-view in general, there's a lot of
yeah.
Paint by numbers stuff too. I mean, we have shows dedicated to certain matches, like when they got rid of the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Hooray, if you want to say it's because it was too heavy, fine, but hooray, because it's one less. Like, you got a Hell in the Cell pay-per-view, you got a TLC pay-per-view, so they keep changing their minds, like, and you never know when they're just going to be like, this one's done and we're starting a new one. It makes it very confusing.
Right, but I actually, the one I wanted to see them keep was the Elimination Chamber. That just seemed
like
a good portion of the road to WrestleMania,
yeah.
And but that's the one they got rid of.
Well, Do you get the feeling? I'll save that for when we get to the end, because I do have one question that's sort of cropped up on the interwebs that I think is relevant.
Definitely. So we've talked about the Intercontinental Title Ladder Match, the Battle Royal, which is, you know, a lot of different angles. Like, last year's Battle Royal didn't really have any storylines to it. This year's Battle Royal does have a few storylines. You've got The Miz and Mizdow. Kind of got Ryback in there, who is probably the quote-unquote odds-on favorite. You're probably going to end up with Sheamus, unless he returns at Raw after Mania. Of course, you've got Curtis Axel, which to me is
Dark Horse.
Going in. And so the Battle Royal, to me, this year has more meaning than last year, when the unannounced guy won it. And
yep.
It was just kind of a match that was there. Even though it was announced early, just like this one, I just feel like there's more going on with it this year.
Yeah, I like that they've been able to sort of create some momentum, because I think the big concern that everybody had when it was announced last year was, you know, will we care a year from now? Will they keep it going a year from now? How are we going to feel about it? That they're having guys talk about it being a big deal. My money right now, and I don't think is an off target idea. You mentioned Sheamus. Would it necessarily be all that surprising if a returning Sheamus came out and won the Battle Royal relatively harmless? I hope that Axelmania just gets eliminated, but not eliminated.
Right.
In that sense, maybe he gets obliterated. Maybe he gets tossed out like through the ropes. He gets obliterated through a table or something and can't recover until like after the match is over. And like nobody picks up on that, like, and he picks up on the fact that he once again has not been eliminated from a battle royal, and we can get Curtis Axel, battle royal specialist, because I think you can only take the I was never eliminated from the Royal Rumble bit so far before, you know, it's going to lose its magic. But if you start to twist it to where, like, now he's a battle royal specialist and he's, like, challenging five guys to come to the ring and take him on or
he
whatever.
Just, he shows up during a random six-man tag. And
exactly.
Turns into a
and he's, like,
royal.
He's trying to toss him out. Like,
you got the New Day versus, like, the Usos and somebody, and here comes Curtis Axel.
Comes
you know
Curtis
what?
Axel.
We saw this match last week. Points to the WrestleMania sign. Battle royal, bitches. Let's go. Like,
hell yeah. I would
never eliminate it. He should continue to point to the sign even after WrestleMania when the sign's not there. Like, there's so much good you can do with Curtis Axel. I do want them to go away from the Hulk Hogan bit to where, like, just, like, change the color and the font on the shirt. Keep Axelmania.
Yeah.
But do that. And he used to do the fake ripping of the shirt where he ripped it from the middle like Superman. Do that.
Yep.
Like, cut a hole in the middle of his shirt so he
can
rip through that.
Keep doing it goofy. Yep.
Yeah, keep doing it goofy, but just make it less Hulk Hogan. Like, I don't need to hear Curtis Axel saying, what you going to do, brother? Like, I don't want it to go that far, kind of because I kind of want this gimmick to stick for a long time, and ripping off Hogan, it can't. So that's the selfish side of me.
And honestly, I feel like there's a place for it. Like, we don't have a Santino Marella type right now.
Right.
Really. So if he's comfortable in that role and he's doing a good job – and it keeps him, you know, working on the roster and getting a paycheck, because he's not a bad hand necessarily. Like, he was a bland hand in the ring, but he was not really, like, he's capable. He's a comedy run.
Jack Swagger.
Yeah, no, not at all.
And again, I keep saying people hate it when is Dean Ambrose that much of a better wrestler than Curtis Axel?
No, he's just a terrific brawler with a great gimmick. Anyway,
yeah.
But yeah, there's totally a place for that. And who knows, you could be a Hall of Famer.
You could be a Hall of Famer and make a lot of money with Axelmania.
You absolutely could.
But imagine.
Believe that.
Just imagine Patrick O'Dowd if he wins.
Oh.
Like, if he maintains the momentum going up through WrestleMania and then he wins the Battle Royal. Because let's be honest, is it really that important who wins the Battle Royal? The only reason we know who.
He carries a trophy with him everywhere he goes.
He
can have that as, like,
care about last year's winners because they did nothing with the person. That's the only reason why we care about it. He could carry that trophy around. It could be to the point where they don't even do the Battle Royal because
it's a foregone conclusion, sir.
He could defend the trophy. There's just in matches where it's just one but bring your opponent. And he could just keep winning by accident. Like, there's so many things you could do.
Oh, yeah.
With,
he could totally, like, fall down and somebody's charging at him, going over the side.
Yeah, or, like, you know, he can defend it against Tyson Kidd and Natalya causes Kidd to lose and they argue again. And there's just so much you can do. So much you can do with Curtis Axel.
Which, of course, means that none of that's going to happen, everybody. So everything that you just got excited about with Axelmania and, you know, and Battle Royal Champion and all that, just get it out of your heads because it ain't coming.
He's the next Zack Ryder. I know, and I'm ready for it.
But that's okay. That's okay. Because here's the difference between that and Zack Ryder. He's played ball. Zack Ryder didn't play ball. Like, and that's the thing is, as much, and this is not to say that I did not love, like, what Zack Ryder tried to do to get, you know, to get people's attention to who he is and his character and his idea, because I love it. But if there's one thing that I've preached repeatedly on this show and elsewhere, is if you really want to get somewhere in the WWE, you play ball.
Yeah.
That's why Dolph Ziggler has a job. That's why Cody Rhodes gets to do, like, because I think, you know, he probably had a bigger hand in Stardust than people really know, but, like, he got all kinds of crap. He just did it.
Mm-hmm.
Just did it. And you know what?
Yeah, he owned it.
Gets you a job, and eventually, sometimes that can lead you to a better job.
Mm-hmm. And which is probably going to happen to Cody Rhodes.
Exactly.
And
like, someday
if he complained about it.
You.
Oh, yeah, he is. And it's probably sooner rather than later. He's probably going to leave WrestleMania the Intercontinental Champion, which will make all the Daniel Bryan fans really upset. And I say that as a Daniel Bryan fan, but not hashtag Daniel Bryan fan. if you like, yeah, not that.
I don't think it'll make them upset in the sense of hashtag cancel WWE Network mad. You know what I mean? Where they threaten to cancel their subscription, but then don't.
But then don't, because no one did, because that, yeah.
The social networking protests are useless, actually. Kind of completely useless.
They really are. In fact, they actually promote the product that you're trying to boycott. Yep. But you know, but far be it from us to interject logic into a situation.
Or numbers. Numbers.
No, numbers don't lie, Patrick O'Dowd. Yeah. Except when 25,000 people vote in a poll. That's for a show that's watched by 4 million. But regardless, I digress. So next up on the announced matches, we have Sting, the WCW icon, versus Triple H, the apparent WWE icon, in a battle that, is it Sting versus H? Is it WCW versus WWE? Is it just a match? Like what is this? And can they make us care more than we already do?
And again, this is probably the old school fan in me. Like, I care about this match. Because I really hope it's Sting's last match. And you know, if he can put together one good final match with Triple H, who, again, no spring chicken himself, but has proven himself to be far more capable in the ring, even in his advanced years. I think that between the two of them, they could probably put together a pretty darn good, you know, match for what it's going to be. I don't necessarily buy a WCW versus WWE sort of thing, though I see that in the way that they're telling the story. To me, as a fan, it's really about something that I think was, you know, long hoped for when WCW folded, and you know, dare I say, overdue, finally coming to fruition at least once. Give him having him have his one shining moment at a WrestleMania, and you know, going from there. I've actually really enjoyed the promos that have come behind this. Again, that Triple H is basically carrying right now, because they're letting him sort of talk about, you know, do what he does best, and he is a good talker and can talk about, like, his connection to history is very, very good, and something that we've talked about with Triple H for years and years and years is that we know that he has a respect for the business as a whole and where people have come from, and I think it's played out pretty well.
And his place in history is very undervalued as well. And
absolutely,
I don't think he will ever get the credit and respect that he deserves. I also think he doesn't care, which makes him really unique in the wrestling business, because at the end of the day, his impact will be far greater behind the scenes than it was on the scene, and he had a tremendous impact on the scene as well. I can't see Sting losing this match. I don't think it's his last match. I think that comes next year. I do think we're going to get Sting versus Undertaker at 32. I do think it's going to suck, because I follow the every other year policy with the Undertaker's matches, which means this and next year's will suck. And but then they'll go away. They'll both get inducted together, because, you know, they're somehow forever linked in history, even though they've actually wrestled before,
like,
just in WCW, when it's Sting versus Mean Mark.
Mean Mark.
Not even Mean Mark Callis. At that point, he was only going by Mean Mark, because I guess that got
WCW
over.
WCW wrestler names.
Yeah, well, you know, Mean Mark, and then High, you know, because High Voltage was the match before that. And
Danger.
And I'm sure after that, we had the Cole Twins. Not Booker T and Stevie Ray, the Cole Twins, but the actual tall, skinny, white guy, Cole.
Yep.
I remember way too much about this random stuff. So that's Sting versus Triple H. Now, the rumored matches, which people talk about as if they're set in stone, and they probably are, The Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt, obviously going to happen. The big question that I've got, and someone even sent me a message on Facebook asking me this, as if I knew, but I give my opinion, are we going to see The Undertaker before WrestleMania 31?
Yes. Maybe not live. He's got to accept the match. Like, somewhere, maybe it is just a gay spooky pyro. But in the history of these, outside of the one where Kane quote unquote killed him and, like, sort of came back, The Undertaker's generally made the appearance to accept the challenge. Unless they're going that sort of route, and maybe that, and if they do, I actually kind of like the idea of Bray Wyatt like begging for the Undertaker to show up in the ring and the lights going out for real and the gong going off. I think that would be a terrific moment. But I think at some point you would hope that there'd be some sort of at least an inkling of a response, because right now it's just Bray Wyatt begging for the Undertaker and burning his coffin and stuff.
And I can't see the WWE not making the match official, like leading into WrestleMania.
It's what they do
with a "will he show up" angle. They just can't do that. It's not good business, unfortunately, and it's just not something that they would even risk. I mean, look how big of a draw the Undertaker is. Of course, everyone would know he was going to be there, but yet they still just wouldn't take that risk because people are stupid, and we don't want stupid people to screw that up.
Yeah, I think that you can have the intrigue without the intrigue. Like, and everybody, it's like you said, everybody knows he's coming back. Like, everybody knows, like, Michelle McCool is doing a great job of showing us that he knows how to exercise. Thanks, Michelle. and Bray Wyatt is, they're hammering it over hard. So clearly the agreement has been made. And I think that really the only, I'm even assuming that the young DeMarco can put together that the Undertaker will be showing up because Bray Wyatt's calling him out.
Of course he can. Yes, he can. But here's the thing. I don't think that the Undertaker shows up in person before WrestleMania.
But
I do think we get some sort of I think we get a response. We get a spooky response, and the match will be confirmed and announced, and the commentators will begin to play up the what kind of condition will the Undertaker be in. Will he be able to that's what they're going to go for, and fine. I don't care. My big issue is he cannot. Bray Wyatt needs to win, and I'm worried about that.
I actually really disagree with you.
You're allowed.
And I know, but usually we're kind of in concert. And I'm not saying that he can't win. I think that I can't remember where somebody made a comment about it, and that I agreed with. 21-1 or 22-1. And again, I know that it's not about that record, and that now that he's lost, he can lose. But I will say that when it comes to the mystique and what makes it special, the record is special. And at some point, like, suddenly everybody beats The Undertaker. And I don't like that. And maybe it's just my playlist, as you would say it. But to me, that's the thing. Like, he's not the X number of time world champion. Like, he's not Mr. WrestleMania in the sense. He was the streak. He's now, in my opinion, still the record. And you can thank Paul Heyman for making it the record, because he's the one who talks about the 1-21-1. And everybody
haven't been talking about since the whole Bray Wyatt thing started, the streak, the record, none of that has come up. And while I think they'll mention the record on commentary, I honestly think that when the streak ended, it ended. Like, the storyline, record at WrestleMania,
fair enough,
all kind of left the story, in my own opinion.
Sure. The other piece of it is I would love to see it be something where Bray Wyatt can claim that The Undertaker, came back from hell for me. Again, because Bray Wyatt, I firmly believe Bray Wyatt never has to win, and it's okay.
Right.
I used to not believe that, and that has since changed. Like, I thought at some point Crazy needed to go over too. But because of his ability to, we talked about gifted talkers, because of his ability to quickly turn a loss into a win or a recovery or a change or I'll be back, he can talk about how he reclaimed The Undertaker and, he brought this kindred spirit back. And I don't necessarily feel like he needs to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, even though it would be a deal.
Right.
So...
Yeah, and in my opinion, I think here's what I want to happen, and I wrote this in my latest column. at the 411 Mania, where I talked about the five amazing things you can still do at WrestleMania 31. I think that the Bray Wyatt needs to kill The Undertaker. And I'm not saying he needs to murder the man in the ring and do all of that, because then I'd be supporting Beyond Wrestling. I think that... Yeah, you like it? Snuck that in right there. You see that?
No,
see
I was
I did?
Thinking the same joke, too.
Good. I'm glad. Glad we're on that same page. But I think he needs to, it needs to be the last time we see the quote-unquote dead man. I think he needs to end that version of The Undertaker. If you want to do Undertaker and Sting next year at WrestleMania, fine. Bust out the motorcycle. Bring back Kid Rock. Bring back the American Badass. Because you need that persona anyway. Because you're not going to just... The Undertaker's not going to just go away forever and not make any appearances. And so he needs the American Badass persona to make the appearances for the WWE in the future. He's a legend. He's not going anywhere once he's done. He's not going to retire and ride off into the sunset and disappear. And in order to do that, you've got to bring back that old persona. And I think this is the way that you do it. Plus... Bray Wyatt couldn't have the streak. He could at least have that. And to me, that's something that Bray Wyatt can effectively talk about, because Bray Wyatt's not a numbers guy. So why would Bray Wyatt care about ending the streak? He'd more care about ending the dead man. And that, to me, is the mantle, what the trophy that Bray Wyatt would want on the mantle from this match with The Undertaker. So and that's why, and here's the thing, The Undertaker wouldn't get pinned, because it's probably going to be a casket match.
Yeah, that's true.
So, which you again, Bray Wyatt wouldn't get pinned either. So,
Lightning could strike the casket, and oh, sorry. By the
well,
way,
that's the concern. Though I call it a concern, some people call it something that they want to see. People think sort of the supernatural Gay Spooky is somehow going to transfer to Bray Wyatt in the course of this match.
Yeah,
even though he's already done some of it with the
he's done Gay Spooky
the hologram,
creepy choir kids, and
yep.
All that
hologram,
weirdness.
Yep.
Yeah. So, breaking news. Everybody, do yourself a favor. Check out www.axlemania.com. There's nothing special there except for a counter counting up the days, hours, minutes, and seconds that it has been since Axel has not been eliminated from the Royal Rumble match, and a tweet. So this is like the most slap-happy, horrible website ever, but it has a counter and an endorsement from Curtis Axel. It's hilarious.
And I love the fact that, because his catchphrase... And it's actually a really bad website now that I'm looking at it. Like, it's horrible. But I love the don't change the channel catchphrase.
Don't change the channel.
Like to me, that is just perfect.
Well, it has a mission statement.
Yeah, click on it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's even worse. Oh, it's so bad, it's good.
Smiley
that,
face?
That's really what...
Oh, there it is again.
Yep. It's amazing.
Okay, anyway, back to your regular scheduled podcast.
Yes. Back to it. So, Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt. We've talked that one to death. John Cena versus Rusev. The Greg DeMarco approved. No, Greg DeMarco is campaigning for, of course, this to open WrestleMania 31.
Main event.
Oh no! Oh dear God, no. We
go on last.
Please
go
no.
on last.
Go on last. Yeah. So, what would people rather see go on last? John Cena versus Rusev or Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar?
Or would you rather? That's a good... Yeah, good. Like that's a terrible...
See, I would post that on the Yes, Yes, Yes book. Just search Yes, Yes, Yes group. Just search Facebook for Yes, Yes, Yes. But they would all answer with something about Daniel Bryan. And that's not one of the options. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't like to play the game by the rules because, again, they're not actually fans. Anyway.
But if they start a game, Patrick O'Dowd, and we don't play the game by the rules, we would get yelled at.
Well, of course. Aren't we mods? What? Oh,
we are. It's the playlist mentality.
Exactly. So John Cena versus Rusev opening. I think.
Nice try though.
Yeah. Do you want me to go or what? What's happening there? You know, out of all the builds, because it's John Cena, it's been to me. It's such a classic story. I love it. Like, I love that we have still got a xenophobic storyline here in 2015, where we have the evil foreigner. And now he's wielding his, like, power over John Cena, who Mr. Be a Star. Does anybody else get the uncomfortable feeling that he's going to convince Rusev to the match by threatening Lana?
Oh, man.
I just throwing it out there, you know, because we do that every once in a while. Like,
that would be hilarious. Like, he's got her up for the AA.
Yeah.
Or he's
something
about to walk in the FU.
I mean, So who knows? I don't think he'd put her in the SDFU. I could see him getting her up on his shoulders for like some sort of like, I'm going to threaten the AA. Because, you know, we got Serious Cena. Like, we got Mad John this week on Raw.
Not only did we get Mad John, but last night on Raw, or this week, since, you know, you may not be listening on Tuesday night, he was a heel. Like, they were cheering Stephanie. And they were booing Cena. And it was, you know, New Jersey, so I get it. But I'm like, there's nothing face about this whatsoever. John Cena's just mad that he lost a match. And yeah, there's a low blow, but big deal. It's wrestling. And now he's campaigning, and Stephanie's not doing anything different than she did to Daniel Bryan, telling him that we don't need you, you're not important anymore. And the fans start chanting yes. And Stephanie did the worst thing she could have done by acknowledging it. Mm-hmm. And encouraging it, and basically telling John Cena this isn't what the fans want, because it was the truth, and that at that point the truth probably wasn't the best thing for the story, but at least
he
went with it.
Showed up. Oh, sorry.
And then R-Truth showed up and stole the title and had the third title change. But I almost, here's the thing: you got Roman Reigns set to kind of be the top of the company. You've got all these over. It's you know, now might be the time, Patrick O'Dowd, to turn the heel. And to become John Cena, the bad guy, because that the reaction would be there. Could you do a double turn? Could you somehow turn Rusev face? I just can't imagine.
No, you can't do it right now. I think it would be really. I think it'd be really, 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 really hard to turn him face in the course of a match. Or in the course of this little build. Because, I mean, for God's sakes, they're still dropping the fucking flag, man. Like, you can't just switch that off. He's not, we're not going to get.
It would be the greatest promotional accomplishment ever if the WWE were getting people to cheer for the dropping
suddenly,
of the Russian flag.
Suddenly he'd have to go with, like, the Nikolai Volkov tights with the two flags on the singlet. Like, that's not going to happen.
Like Putin could get over, and it would just be amazing.
No, no. Okay, we need it. We need Putin to get out of this alley, because it's not. You're going to get shot by someone if we keep talking
true
about this.
That's true.
My thing is the problem with this is that the reaction is a heel reaction. He's clearly going to be the guy to beat Rusev, and he's clearly supposed to be the one who's going to come off as the hero here, not at WrestleMania. If you were holding Fastlane in Ames, Iowa, you get that reaction. But, you know, WrestleMania with the smart crowd, like,
no.
That is not, like, you are not going to, like, and they don't even love, like, it's going to be a, you know, cheer for Rusev because we don't like John Cena sort of
Rusev's
gonna scenario.
Rusev's going to go over in that match.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is the report that Tony wrote up and because Curtis Axel was trying to get the Axelmania chant going during Raw last, and it wasn't working. And the commentary team points out that. But then, about a minute later, when Axel's trying to Hulk up, the crowd is chanting.
Yep.
They're having dueling chants. Axelmania, Cena sucks. Axelmania, Cena sucks. And I was just like, this is – you couldn't have written it better if you tried.
No, absolutely.
It's just not possible.
It's
just not possible. But Rusev will be over as a face.
Absolutely.
Brock Lesnar was so over as a face at the Royal Rumble, it wasn't even funny. And that's going to be Rusev at WrestleMania. He will be so over as a face. There will be so many confused little children, and that's okay with me. Now you have the match that everyone knows is going to happen, that it's just obvious. And at least the fans, even the casual fans, know it because they're still cheering for Randy Orton. Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton will happen at WrestleMania. I just hope they don't wait too long to turn Randy. Like just let him RKO the guy and get on with it.
Yep.
That's what I want to see.
Well, and we even had, and there's Twitter play between him and John Stewart this past today.
Right.
In fact, so he's doing all the face stuff. It's a matter of when, not if. The nice thing about Randy Orton in this character is that you can do the RKO out of nowhere and still keep him as an asshole.
Of course.
And he'll just be the liked asshole. So I don't know that there's the sense of urgency that you're putting on it that he doing to get it over with. But again, you know how the WWE likes to have their set card. So I would say if they haven't done it by Raw this Monday, then I'm thinking that's a little faster than what we should be expecting. But
gotcha.
I don't think it's the end of the world that it hasn't happened necessarily yet. And I think it could go as late as, you know, the Monday Night Raw before Mania. I don't think it will, but I could see it going that long.
Here's why that would be weird to me. Because right now you have this angle that you're pushing based on John Cena demanding to be on the card and Stephanie saying no, and eventually Rusev's going to accept the challenge and he's going to be on the card. But then you have guys like Seth Rollins and Randy Orton not on the card and seemingly not complaining about it. So I just that would, and again, who are we to care about continuity?
But they're the authority guys too, and so maybe that's why they're not particularly worried about it. Where it presents a real continuity problem is that it seems like we're working to a match that we already know is going to happen, and so you just want it announced already. Unfortunately, you're wanting to put the story before, but you know you're putting the cart before the horse, and you've got to keep the story in front of the match. And so it's not that unusual for there to be different timetables. You know, Orton hasn't mentioned it yet. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if as this comes along, you know, Orton says, I wonder if they're going to, this might scare you a little bit. I wonder if they're not going to battle over the briefcase and Rollins gets Orton. But you had John Stewart very pointedly before he kicked Seth Rollins in the ding ding. Was like, you know who should have won that briefcase. You know whose briefcase that is. You know what that's about. Like, why do you make that a part of your script?
I don't know, because who is he referring to?
I mean, I think he's implying by virtue of...
Like, who do you think should have won the briefcase? Bad News Barrett? Like, I don't know who... Because,
I'm afraid he's got some bad news, but...
Well, because not like Orton was in that match, so I don't know what John Stewart's getting at.
But, you know, again, when has continuity ever gotten in the way of anything?
True. I think it's more John Stewart just cutting a quote-unquote wrestling promo.
Sure.
Like, that all is.
But can't we just say, how refreshing is it and wonderful to know that John Stewart is a fan of professional wrestling?
Oh, it's great. And the fact that, because let's be honest, like for a lot of celebrities, coming on Raw is a good thing. When you look at John Stewart doesn't need to come on Raw. Like, John Stewart is bigger. John Stewart's bigger than that and doesn't have anything to promote, doesn't have anything to gain from this. Yet there he is, and he's just having fun. And that's what makes him better than most celebrity gets.
That's the best part about it. Like, I tweeted this a couple weeks back. The thing that I don't know that a lot of people, and like if you watch The Daily Show, he references the pay-per-view the Monday after the pay-per-view. Every Monday on the show, he'll talk about something, how either somebody got robbed. Like, that dude's a fan. Like, and has clearly been a fan for a really long time. And I think that's one of the things that I really appreciate out of this is, you know, there are celebrities that sure are there for a payday. It's like you said, like, he's there because he's a fan. And, you know, as funny as it sounds, John Stewart's getting a thrill out of, you know, getting, you know, threatened by Seth Rollins on the Daily Show set.
Uh-huh.
And getting to walk on a Monday Night Raw. And I know today's Tuesday. I'm guaranteeing you that this, you know, the Daily Show today, that probably opened the show. Like, something about his Raw appearance was on the show.
You're probably 100% right, and that's completely okay.
So,
I
think that's the thing, is when it happens, it happens. I hope that it wasn't just a one-off for Jon Stewart to show up and you know, sass Seth Rollins once on Raw. I hope he's at Mania, too.
He probably will be, because he wants to be.
In Randy's corner.
In Randy's corner, and that's maybe he'll even be part of the turn. Who knows?
Because we've already got our celebrity. You know, we've always had our celebrity something. And they really have kept that kind of quiet. On a side note, they haven't announced any sort of music performance yet, have they?
No, but I don't even know what the official song is.
Usually that weird like cheap fake CD graphic that tells you, you know.
Right. Well, but last year. There was the musical performances were related to theme songs, and Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt's themes, and so if they go that route again, I'm fine with it. I don't know who you know, because you've got Rise and Money and the Power are the official theme songs of WrestleMania 31,
yeah,
which is kind of
no
last year's theme songs were so good and so applicable. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
you know, and even the when they were using, you know, the Monster song for Daniel Bryan and for John Cena, like it was just so well done. And I don't think that's going to happen this year. But who knows? Because they do a great job on there, on those video packages. And I think they'll continue to do a great job. Pedro Dowd, what about the Bellas versus AJ Lee and Paige? I mean, that made the card for me because that was going to happen.
She made the card for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just
you're
like...
You're not talking about other constituents that you're, you know, good friends with?
Yeah, no, no. I mean, I'm sure. Well, look, Tony doesn't care about that match. Tony just cares about AJ Lee. Like
that's why I said, like, that's enough for him, though.
Of course it is.
Yeah,
he was like, say
you
no
gotta,
more.
You gotta have divas in the middle of the show at some point, right? Like,
you're probably gonna have that match, and
you're gonna have
a pre-show where we'll probably get Cesaro, Kid, and Natalya versus
the Usos,
even though they just did that match on Raw, but you know. They just did some other matches.
They basically did a large number of the WrestleMania, you know, matchups at Fastlane. So, like, how's it any different?
Well, really, only two. I mean,
that's enough to be a trend.
I agree with you. Actually, nothing at WrestleMania should be that much of a rematch. And I get Cena versus Rusev. Rusev's win should have come at Mania. It's probably not, but whatever. So I know you had an overall question, so we'll use that as our overall impressions part of this WrestleMania.
That was my question is that overall, I don't know, like where is the excitement anymore? Because some of it does feel like a redux of what we've just seen or what's already taken place. You know what I mean?
Think what takes away, and first of all, for me, I'm weird in the sense that the fact that it's WrestleMania, it gets me excited because I love WrestleMania.
I'm going to see it. Like, I mean, I pay $9.99 a month, so
right.
You know, I'm going to watch it. But
yeah, I get that, and I'm with you there. But for me, what takes away from, or where I can see taking away from WrestleMania, is Brock Lesnar, Triple H, Sting, Undertaker. These are all guys we just don't see. And in the past years, until this part-time thing sort of became a bigger deal, we were seeing build of guys that we saw every week. And we don't see wrestler Triple H every week. We see executive Triple H every week. We don't see Sting every week. We don't see Lesnar every week. We're not going to see Undertaker until WrestleMania. So it doesn't feel like this big culmination, this big grand stage when you're bringing the part-timers out. I get why they're bringing the part-timers out. I honestly don't like it, but I'm not going to complain about it as much as some others do because I just deal with it. Hashtag Batista.
We've talked about this repeatedly in probably every build to WrestleMania over the last 3 years. It's like you said, WrestleMania is it's a showcase. It's a spectacle. So it's no longer like you no longer have the mega powers explode at WrestleMania 5. You now have, you know, people who are coming back.
The mega powers explode at Night of Champions. Battleground.
That, you know, we've talked again. It's been an ongoing theme on the show in shows past, and I think it's a theme that if you read anybody who blogs about wrestling, will talk about. Especially if they have an old school bent, storytelling is so much different, so much faster, and you know what used to take, you know, over the course of 4 pay-per-views that were spread out over the course of a year to happen, where the matches between, like, where a John Cena versus Rusev match would still feel fresh because of the way that feuds were built and told over the course of that time, that died and is gone. And so it's so fast that you don't really have, like, that culmination of whatever. Outside of what I'm sure you would argue is the 2-year Daniel Bryan arc that has taken place, interrupted briefly by injury.
Well, not just the 2-year Daniel. The Daniel Bryan arc ended at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
And it started the August before. And what's so funny is that when they do tell a long-term story, people either A, don't like it, like Roman Reigns, or B, insist that it isn't happening, like Daniel Bryan. And so they complain that everything's too fast and the monthly pay-per-views hurt. But then when they tell a long-term story, they complain about that too. And that's just the internet. No one's ever going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
I'm not happy. I'm on the internet right now. Not happy.
You guys go along your way not being happy because I am
get off my lawn.
Happy. That's right. But I feel like they're the get off my lawn people, not us. Like it's the
ideologies.
Because we're not asking
to get off my lawn. Get off my lawn.
But see, I'm not asking for wrestling to go back to the old way. I'm just asking for people to see. I'm just trying to tell people you can still enjoy the new way. And
what it is.
Yeah. And I enjoy it for what it is. And I don't yearn for the days because those days weren't always that great either. Because when we didn't have monthly pay-per-views and Monday Night Raw for 3 hours every Monday and SmackDown every Thursday, you know what we got? Skinner versus Barry Horowitz.
Wait, hey.
I'm just saying, though, like that. Do you want that back? I know you do.
You
want that back.
Do you remember there was a wrestling confessions thread on the Yes, Yes, Yes board at one point where people asked, like, who's the wrestler that you sort of secretly like that you didn't want to admit? Skinner was my guy. He really – I don't know why I liked the Greasy Alligator Man. And then don't get me started on jobbers. I went into a lengthy defense the other day of Iron Mike Sharp. And, if he'd just gotten that arm better – he would have been a world champion.
He could have been Intercontinental champion. I don't even remember what my guilty pleasure was in that thread. I don't even. I might have been Nikki Bella.
I don't even know that you said anybody. I don't remember if you contributed. But I definitely put Skinner and actually got likes. That's what I loved is people were like, "Yeah, I like Skinner." Yes.
Of course they did.
Don't be ragging on Skinner. If we didn't have superstars in All American Wrestling, people like Skinner and Cokie Beware wouldn't have had jobs. and we needed it. Jim Powers would not be working.
That's right.
Steve Lombardi would have never made the Hall of Fame. Like we needed those shows.
You know what would have happened if the setup was today how it is back then. You'd have had Jim Powers, Paul Roma, and Hercules Hernandez coming out chanting "New Day" as they're walking to the ring. That's what you would have.
Oh, that's brutal.
That's who those guys are, and I'm sorry if that upsets people because New Day is going to be in the Battle Royal, and the tag champs are going to be in a 6-person tag match on the pre-show. So, have fun with that because
that's where it is these days.
So, look at that. Our 25 minute WrestleMania discussion only took an hour.
Yeah, well, it's
impressed with us.
It's what it is.
So let's take a break, Patrick O'Dowd. Come back and continue the show. There you go, Patrick O'Dowd.
You think you know me? Nitro, and you're listening to The Greg DeMarco Show. And if you don't listen to it, I'll kick your butt and you will respect me.
Vaginas are awesome.
Thank you, Greg. Oh, I want to say, Greg, I love you. I'm serious. I love you. Greg DeMarco, I love you. This is Buggy Nova, and I just want to let all you guys know that I love Greg DeMarco. True, I can't help it.
Greg DeMarco Show.
You're welcome!
Patrick, this is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh, I'm out of snow. Bullshit, 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 bullshit.
The wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd's bullshit internet report of the week.
We are back, and of course, that sound means it is time for the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd's bullshit internet wrestling report of the week. Take it away, Patrick O'Dowd.
Okay, well, number one coming to us from F4WOnline.com. We'll just say Wrestling Observer because that's how you all know it anyway. Word on the street is Samoa Joe is expected to sign with the WWE soon. The deal is not finalized, but both sides are working on an agreement. Triple H is reportedly a big fan of Joe, and the feeling is that he is the one pushing for the deal. The other thing I want to point out is this is the same group of people who, when Joe was released by TNA, basically said that every fucking company was trying to sign him. But, you know, that pretty much covers your bases, because I can't call that bullshit, because it probably was true.
But you know what you can say that about Patrick O'Dowd? Is the last time Joe was in a contract situation, and the last time that Joe was putting out feelers, it was Triple H, according to the reports, that said, no, we're not interested in Samoa Joe or anyone from TNA ever.
Well, and you left off, when putting this in the rundown, you left off a big part of one of the news bites where it talks about he'd be signed and he'd started NXT and, you know, he'd be a part of that roster there. And I, like, part of me, like, if I were Samoa Joe, and it's the same thing, like, if I were AJ Styles, like, if I were Samoa Joe or someone like AJ Styles, like, nothing against NXT and its indie-rificness and what it's worth. I don't feel like those guys, like, and I even feel that way about, you know, some of the guys that are in there now. Those two guys don't strike me as guys that need to start at NXT.
Well, really? Me too, and well, here's the thing. Thanks to Sin Cara, no one will not start an NXT. Like, Sin Cara screwed that up for everybody. I honestly think that Triple H is signing some guys to NXT who will never see the main roster.
Yep.
And because he has it somewhere in his brain that he's going to make NXT its own brand, because Vince won't let him do what he wants to do on Raw. And that's why he's starting to push taking NXT on the road. And Vince can take from NXT if he needs to. But NXT, I think, will soon exist as its own brand. And that's going to cause the big blow-up between Vince and Triple H, is when NXT is doing really well, and Vince is like, the focus should be the show, and Triple H is finally like, well, you're not letting me put on the show I want to put on. And then next thing you know, it's all going to hit the fan. If Joe is signed, Joe is an NXT Triple H signing who may never see the main roster. Just like, I don't know that Kevin Owens is ever going to see the main roster, but he's your NXT champion. And everyone thinks that Sami Zayn is going to be like a world champion someday. And that, to me, is laughable. I don't think that if it happens, it's a Rey Mysterio title win.
And that's just because you met him, you know, and talked to him at a grocery store once.
And I was like, who's that guy?
Yep.
That was
classic time.
That was good.
So Greg, I mean, bullshit or no, what do you think?
I think it's, I say it is bullshit, and here's why. I just can't, and again, They say it's expected to sign with WWE soon, and that's a really hard to determine term, the defined term. It could be a year, could be a month. He's going to go to Japan at some point. Joe loves Japan, and I can't see all his buddies that work
Japan.
In Japan. He is. He'll be huge in Japan. He'll be over like crazy. No, I know. But you know how many people want to see Shinsuke Nakamura battle Samoa Joe in Japan? I mean, that is an indie fan
and a
Puro fan's dream match, and that's a money match, and it's a match they would do. And he would make money that way, and I just can't see it happening, or I can't see that not happening, and that's why I do think he's going to go to Japan. Could he end up in the E at some point? Maybe.
Sure.
But if I were a betting man, I'd say no. If I had to put my own money on there and bet it, I would say no.
Yeah, and everything about this has the screams, the makings of, you know, a terrific internet story that if it never comes true, they can always say, well, I never said that he was going to. He's expected to.
Yeah.
The deal is not
finalized.
And he's 35.
Finalized.
And let's talk about
in 2 weeks.
I mean, how long did it take before Finn Balor finally became a member of the NXT roster? You know what I mean?
Like televisionists in general.
In general. Because he was rumored forever.
Well, not only that, he was primed to become the lead guy in New Japan. And he walked away from that for the opportunities. And he's going to be a big star, in my opinion. He'll probably – I wanted him to debut at WrestleMania, and I wanted him to do the Finn Balor entrance for the Battle Royal. But you can't, because if I put a timeline to it, I realize it's not going to be dark when they do the Battle Royal. Because too many matches that need the dark. And because Triple H is probably going to need the dark with Sting. Undertaker and Bray Wyatt need the dark. Your main event's going to be in the dark. And it's in California. It's not going to get dark, but it's so late. So Balor's debuting on Raw the next day. That's exactly what I think is going to happen.
But my point to this was the signing of him was a very long, lengthy process. Like, it wasn't like... week after week of report of any day now... You know,
same
and then the weeks
Kenta.
Turned into months,
same thing with,
and the months turned into years. Like, and then suddenly, here we were, you know, a year and a half plus later. So, sure, Joe could be in negotiations. It could be, you know, a year and a half. He could be 36 and a half before the time it's all done.
That's why I just don't think it's going to happen, because I think that time is going to run
out. He's old.
They're not going to want him anymore. So, there you go. Cool. Number two.
Sticking with our friends at the Wrestling Observer, things were bad enough between Vince McMahon and Brock Lesnar last week that the WWE's creative team asked McMahon if they should come up with an alternate scenario for WrestleMania that doesn't include Lesnar in case things broke down to that level. McMahon told them not to and suggested he would sue for breach of contract if Lesnar refused to work the show. My eyes hurt reading that. Like,
here's
fuck
the
that.
Thing
fuck
about
that.
This. First
no, sorry,
of all.
Fuck that. Okay, you can go.
Vince McMahon has proven that he will pay people.
Right?
Look at CM Punk. Look at the Ultimate Warrior. The Ultimate Warrior held Vince McMahon up for money. You know what Vince did? Vince paid him and then sent him on his way and didn't even make him wrestle. So I don't understand where people are suddenly saying this Vince will sue. First of all, even if he sues him for breach of contract, it's not going to get him to work the show. Because WrestleMania is, as we established before, three Raws away. No legal system works that fast. So you can't sue Brock Lesnar and force him to work. The only organization in the world that seems to get anything done through the legal system fast is the NFL. And this is not the NFL. Therefore, suing him is not going to work anything. He will be on the WrestleMania card. There was no fear amongst creative that he wouldn't be. And I really doubt things got as heated as people are reporting between Vince McMahon and Brock Lesnar. He probably left because he was pissed he wasn't being used on the show. And he wasted his time coming out there. And they probably weren't going to pay it as one of his dates, even though he was there. That's probably what he got most mad about and probably why he left, if he even walked out at all. And that's the other thing that I meant to post, never had a chance to. Usually when people are somewhere, there are these things called pictures and tweets and posts. Do we have proof that Brock Lesnar was at Raw last week?
I don't.
Exactly. Like, I don't know that
I wasn't at Raw last week, so I can't tell you. But
one has commented about talking and seeing him backstage. No fan has posted a picture of him locally. Nothing about him at the airport. Nothing about anything. And that's just hard to imagine, because it's in this day and age of social media and the Twitterverse and the universe and every other kind of verse that's around, I just can't see why someone hasn't posted something somewhere about Brock Lesnar and Raw last week. I'm 50-50 on the fact that he was even there to begin with.
So that was a very well thought out, spoken discussion and discourse of your opinion of the validity of that rumor. Fuck that. That's all you had to say. Fuck that. It's bullshit.
It is complete, total, 100%.
Complete bullshit. Yeah. That is news for that is clickbait at its best.
Of course it is.
Shame on you for clicking it for this show so that we had something to call bullshit. Don't anybody else click it because it's bullshit.
I was doing my job.
That's right. Finally, Not sourced, but I'm going to go with the Wrestling Observer because I can.
This is like Inside Hollywood or some stupid website.
No,
like
that. Was it Inside Hollywood? Oh, yeah. So Spike TV used their presentation today to unveil a new logo and tagline in an attempt to appeal to more to men and women instead of their previous demographic. This is part of the reason they phased TNA and pro wrestling out. The new tagline is Spike, the ones to watch. God. Whoever got paid for that tagline should be fired. That is awful. Just
it's up there
awful.
With the Cleveland Browns new logo. Come on.
Yeah, it's just, seriously.
He was a Hollywood
like,
reporter, by the way.
Sometimes I feel like maybe I'm in the wrong field because I want to get paid a lot to come up with stupid shit like Spike the Ones to Watch, which, sadly enough, tested well. It had to have tested well because they don't just reveal that shit. So focus groups out there, I really would like to know what were the ones that didn't make the cut, because this one's bad. Anyway, you know, I actually kind of buy this. I don't think Spike was really all that enamored with TNA, particularly at the end. To begin with, and as you know, it seemed to me that there'd been a little bit of an attitude shift. I'll believe it when I actually see programming 100%. It's a perfectly reasonable thing. It's not necessarily been a secret that Spike TV wanted out of TNA and wanted to change their image a little bit. So, you know, not necessarily shocking.
You know what's funny about it? I can't find the new Spike TV logo anywhere.
I think there's one actually on 411mania.com because they signed to The Rock's production company, and it's The Rock standing in front of what I think is the new Spike logo.
Oh, because what I see is a picture of him standing in front of a jet, but that's not on 411mania. So I'll keep looking.
It looks like the word Spike is like split down the middle. Like, I don't know how that appeals to women. Necessarily for men, but again, it clearly had to have tested well. No, I definitely saw that a report somewhere, and it had a picture of The Rock standing in front of it was like a picture of him standing in front of a jet with his arms crossed, but then Spike was written in front of it, and Spike looked different.
I'm gonna keep looking and see if I can find this just for my own benefit.
Your edification.
I don't think this is why Spike TV got rid of TNA. I think Spike TV got rid of TNA because it just wasn't giving them what they wanted. It went from being one of their higher-rated shows to one of their lower-rated shows. Spike doesn't know a lot about wrestling, so Spike knows things like Hulk Hogan and Sting and even, you know, maybe the Kurt Angles of the world. And yet here's TNA trying to phase a lot of that out. And it just – they're going to me, it was the quote-unquote, you know, conflict of interest or quote unquote irreconcilable differences. That's what this was to me. Nothing of we're changing our image, we're changing our brand, you don't fit. We can't have you on our network and also attract women, because, you know, USA doesn't seem to have a problem with that. Yet USA has a ton of programming that women would watch. And neither, you know, Sci-Fi doesn't seem to have a problem with that. No one has a problem with that because it's a silly thing to claim. And Destination America doesn't seem to have a problem with that. Last I checked, they're not the first network for men. So I just, you know.
They're not the first network for anybody, though, pal.
That's true. That is true. They're not the first network for – they're like the last network. Okay. I've seen the new Spike TV logo, and it pretty much looks like something from 1987.
Right?
That's a terrible logo.
Don Johnson's going to be standing behind it in his pink shirt and jacket, white jacket.
Well, here's the other part. Then Spike the Ones to Watch reflects Spike's strategic shift to a general entertainment network, delivering compelling original entertainment with an edge and a distinctive point of view. It speaks to the network's bold personalities and a brand pushing the boundaries of the unexpected. How does TNA not fit that?
Because they were boring and had old wrestlers that nobody cared about and didn't get rid of them until they started taking in the ratings and had a really dumb, vapid woman who was her own biggest fan. And they got rid of the most interesting guys that they had on the roster that made them famous in the first place, and they killed the X Division.
This is also a direct ripoff of USA's.
Yeah, anyway, as I go under into all the reasons as to why TNA isn't good, but actually don't think it's bad now, oddly enough.
This is just what I want to say. This is USA's Characters Welcome slogan that they had years ago, they focused on personalities and they were intermixing the WWE superstars with the characters from the USA shows. This in no way is a reflection on TNA whatsoever. And for anyone to think that, well, that's just silly.
But hey, since it didn't come from Meltzer, I'm willing to report it.
That's true.
I don't care. Meltzer's I'm declaring the winner right now. The Observer, winner of the Bullshit Award. You get the golden steaming pile today. Good job, Dave.
Congratulations, Dave. Dave hasn't won every single one of them, but he's won most of them.
A multi-time Bullshit of the Week Award winner.
When you're Dave Meltzer, that's what's going to happen. Patrick O'Dowd, I know you were holding back. I know you were sitting on some stuff. Do you want to talk about the stupid spot?
I don't want to talk. It's not necessarily about the spot itself. I think that I know you weren't. You are not a fan and not comfortable with what happened. And I'm the same mind. Because for me, there's just no place for that kind of spot. But what it really brought me back to is I started thinking about. And we've talked about this a lot of times, and I know you had posted on at least the Facebook page, you'd posted Lufisto's blog post that she'd written about what she did to herself for some game of nothing, really.
Right.
But it really brought me back to a couple of live shows that we attended together that, a spot happened, and both of us were very disturbed by it. And the first one that came to mind was Eric Stevens versus Roderick Strong in Philly in a fight without honor at Death Before Dishonor at that point. It was one of their big shows.
No, it was one of the
But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. It was Respect Is Earned 2.
Yeah.
Respect Is Earned 2.
Where Stevens literally died.
I had no problem with that. You talk about the superplex off the ladder?
I'm talking about the way that it was, but it wasn't just a superplex. I can't remember what it wasn't. It wasn't just it wasn't a standard ladder though. It was something ridiculous.
Oh, it was
a
big ladder.
I remember
it was
almost
to the ceiling big ladder.
He took that bump, and my point isn't so much that the bump itself was unsafe. I do think it was unsafe, but it got to me. It got me really thinking about. What is it that you're looking for out of this product and out of wrestling, and this idea that you have to tell a story where the violence level has been amped up to the point and the spots have been amped up to a point where we have to worry, we have to literally put ourselves in harm's way to do it. Now, whether or not you do it or not, that's your choice as a worker. I totally buy that. If you're comfortable with doing it, more power to you. I don't support it as a fan.
When no promoter should ever suggest it.
Yeah.
No booker should ever write that into their show.
Yeah.
I want someone
who knows how
they
came out.
Head of the chair.
Yeah.
And that's just – here's my thing. Here's why people are doing it. Patrick O'Dowd, three letters, ECW. That's why people are doing
it. Sure.
They want to be the next ECW. But you got to remember what happened. WWE eventually stole what made ECW cool and made it not cool anymore. And that's why everyone now hardcore wrestling. If you want to get attention, if you want to take off in the level that ECW took off, then you got to be the next thing the WWE is going to steal, not something it stole over a decade ago. That's not going to get you anywhere. You want to be cool, you got to find something else. You can't rip off. You're ripping off something that it's already been – you're ripping off a ripoff at this point, and that's not going to do you any good. Not only that, but now more and more videos are coming out about stupid spots that Beyond Wrestling has done. And to me, this is becoming a Beyond Wrestling thing. And I've already had my issues with them because they were the ones behind hashtag Raw Alternative. And that failed. It didn't really get anybody anywhere. Even other promoters were like asking on Twitter, did anyone make any money off of this? Because I sure didn't.
Yep.
And that's really what the goal is for people to make money. And this is a promotion that's known to not pay all of its talent either. But yet people in wrestling are stupid and will continue to work for them. There's something that bothers me on a different level than just the spot. It's the promotion in general and kind of the way that they've been moving towards in the past about six to 12 months, and so it's just a bigger issue that I have with the product in general that they're putting out.
That's fair. I'm less connected and less familiar with the promotion itself. I do think that for all the talk, I mean, we've been in locker rooms, we've met workers, and met a lot of really wonderful, nice people, and I'm sure any one of them would talk about their willingness to do whatever. But I also hear a lot of, like you said, like there's a lot of talk of like camaraderie and family and whatever.
Yeah.
And then you've got this, you know, the person in charge and the booker that's putting this together, and that's what you do with your family.
Not only that
doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
And everyone's like, she probably agreed to it, and that's her business. We had an interview with Kimberly like 2 years ago. It was a pre-taped interview that we had to do because of her schedule. It went like an hour. She teaches children to dance. Like, she's a dance instructor. What happens if, like, someone sees, like, this is, there's bigger things going on here than just that. And that's what people got to realize. This isn't her career. This isn't anyone on that show's career, except for maybe the Young Bucks. I don't even think they were on that show. No one there is able to make money full-time off wrestling, yet they're able to sacrifice full-time living doing other things because of wrestling. And that's just stupid. That's beyond stupid. And for Chris Dickinson, there were rumors – yeah, right? There were rumors that he was going to be signed full-time with Ring of Honor. I would bet a paycheck that doesn't happen. Because why in the world would they bring him in full-time at this point? He's not even a name that's going to draw anything. They're getting ready to debut. Trent Beretta was just pulled off of all the Evolve cards because he signed with Ring of Honor. And him and Rocky Romero are going to be a new tag team since Alex Kozlov's retired. So Ring of Honor has no use for that guy before. Definitely has no use for him now.
Sure.
The other thing I wanted to bring up about stupid spots, Patrick O'Dowd, is there was an interview that was released just yesterday or something like that with AJ Styles.
He
commented on the Styles Clash. And the quote from AJ Styles was, "The one thing I can't control is your head. That's up to you. And there's only one thing that you can't do in the move, and that's tuck your head."
This bothers me,
Patrick O'Dowd. This bothers me almost as much as the stupid spot from Beyond Wrestling. And here's why. Tucking your head is instinctive in professional wrestling. Every time you take a back bump, you tuck your head to protect yourself. Every time you take a clothesline, believe it or not, as soon as that clothesline hits, you tuck your head because you're then taking a back bump. And I understand it's a front bump and you don't tuck your head on a front bump, but tucking your head is what you do in professional wrestling. You do it more than anything else. And so you've invented a move where if you do the most instinctual thing possible, you could end your career. And that is just dumb. He goes on to say in the interview, if someone doesn't want to do the spot, I won't do the spot. I got plenty of other things I can do. But then he says, but if the promoter and the fans want it, then we have to do it. Well, that's AJ Styles' signature move. So, of course, the promoter and the fans want it. And if you're a wrestler and they're saying, we're going to finish the match with the Styles Clash, there's too much pride and there's too much machismo backstage for someone to be like, no, I'm not going to take that move. They're just not going to do that. Just like I've seen people posting now, Kimberly's not injured. Look, if she's injured, she's not going to tell you about it because she's still protecting the business and she's still doing what she needs to do. Her boyfriend's a wrestler. Like, she's not going to turn on the business because of what happened, regardless of how stupid and how bad it was. And neither is somebody who would be wrestling AJ Styles.
And even more to the point, regardless of whether or not she says she was hurt or not, like, there's – we don't actually know why – she would agree to do whatever, because, you know, what was convinced for that work? Like, what was it that told the worker to do it? Was it pressure to do, you know, the move to get the heat over from the other workers? Was, you know, was it that you wanted to be seen as somebody who was just as tough as anybody else? Like, there's a lot of reasons why somebody would say yes to something that they don't necessarily want to do, you know? So I completely buy it, in the sense of that it, you know, it doesn't make sense to do. And it is, it's just like the other piece of argument that I saw people pointing out there was the, like, well, it doesn't look like, Kimberly was hurt, or that, you know, that she actually took whatever. And I was like, that's not really the point.
Her head didn't hit the ring post. I get it.
Well, but
her head did get hit by a chair.
Well, and even that, aside from that,
by a reckless maniac.
Yeah. Aside from what was or was not done or hit or done, like that there was no, like, maybe this isn't a safe spot to do in any way. Like that didn't seem to cross anybody's mind.
Oh, it probably did.
That's
probably people's minds who it crossed, and they didn't say anything because it's wrestling.
Yeah.
And what bothers me is all the people that are saying, well, she chose to do it. Well, she chose to do it. Those people have never been put in a situation in their life where they felt like they had to do something they didn't want to do. And it's happened to plenty of people in their lives where they did something that they felt like they had to and they didn't want to. And if she chose to do it, there's a very real possibility she was in that situation. And I know people are saying that, you know, she's recently done other things. Look, I saw, ooh, she bled after a match at WSU. Great. But she didn't get hit on the head as hard as a human being could possibly hit her on the head. And she put up her hand to block it, and he basically swung around her hand and hit her on the ground of the head. Like, people were just – and I get it. You go into a ring and these things can happen, but the most important thing people are taught in professional wrestling training is you take care of your opponent. And he did not take care of his opponent in that situation, and that's what bothers me the most. And all these people that are making all these claims don't understand some really fundamental points, not just of human decency, but of professional wrestling. And in professional wrestling, you protect your opponent. There are two things that I remember that were taught to people in professional wrestling. Number one, you protect your opponent. Number two, you always bring your gear, even if you're just visiting, because you might get work.
Yeah.
And those are two things that I didn't even train as a wrestler, but I was backstage and heard these things all the freaking time. And he did. Yeah, obviously he brought his gear, but he sure as hell didn't protect his opponent.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
Patrick O'Dowd.
Back at around our very first or second show, I made a passionate plea for a boxing match to take place between one Manny Pacquiao and one Floyd Mayweather. I am so stoked that on May 2nd, I get to shell out way too much money to watch guys 5 years past their prime fight. And I mean that with all sincerity. I'm so happy.
Are you really?
Yeah, oh, I'm totally happy. Don't even care.
Okay.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang. Bang,
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 bang, bang, bang, bang. There we go. I was like, why are you playing again? I don't understand. Patrick O'Dowd, earlier this weekend, we saw the end of an era. Patrick O'Dowd, we saw the end of an era that I don't think a lot of people fully comprehended what happened when this era ended, Patrick O'Dowd. An offer was made almost 3 years ago on the Greg DeMarco show, and that Money in the Bank briefcase was never cashed in. And that offer is officially off the table now, Patrick O'Dowd, because Leanne Marie got engaged over the weekend.
Oh, sad for me.
No longer can Patrick O'Dowd come to Philly and find her, which you've actually already done. You've already been to Philly.
Yeah, like, it's all good.
And we have pictures to prove it. But she's now happily engaged, and we congratulate Leanne Marie. And she's kind of gotten out of the public eye and out of trying to be a model and an actress and all that stuff. And she had her moment. She's like happy about it. But, yeah, she's doing her thing. She's taking care of the kids. And now she's getting married. So congratulations to Leanne Marie. And Patrick O'Dowd has our condolences.
Aw, Puddin'.
But that's okay, because last I checked, there are plenty of women like Sue Young and Leva Bates. Actually, Leva Bates is engaged. Okay, Sue Young and Nikki St. John were not engaged. So,
I'm like, you don't keep it. You're failing to encourage at this point.
I know. It's just not a whole lot of encouragement. instrument. So,
yeah, I guess I should just go back to my wife. Damn it.
I know. I'm really sorry about that. But, you know, I'm going to save your relationship. That's what this is going to do, Patrick O'Dowd. It's going to save your relationship. You know, it's going to save something that doesn't need saving. But,
so,
you know.
So if there are any single lady wrestlers out there that want to not be in a relationship of any sort in any way, shape, or form, but joke about it a lot on the radio, I'm available.
That's right.
Look me up.
Line up, ladies.
You're welcome.
That's the pitch. That's the pitch.
There's
right
one.
There.
There is one qualification, though.
You have a vagina.
As long as
that
you meet
a
that
pretty important prerequisite.
You're pretty good, Patrick O'Dowd. That does it. That does it for this week's
All
edition
right,
of the Greg
man.
DeMarco Show. So we look forward to next week when I don't know. Maybe we'll have a show.
We
maybe
might
we'll,
have
we
a
don't.
Show.
Well, who knows?
We're like that secret club in New York that nobody knows if it's actually open or there.
Exactly. Until you find out, and then and you don't know until you know, and at
you
that
don't know
point,
when the
you
party
know.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. So, but Patrick O'Dowd, that does do it for this week's edition of the Greg DeMarco Show. We'll see you when we see you, people, because we don't even know when that is.
Time to get off. Greg DeMarco
is a great lover.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
And I love you, Greg.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Damn! You're welcome!